Couple days away is the ReliaQuest Bowl from Tampa, Florida. The Hawkeyes and the Vanderbilt Commodores both wrapping up their season. 11 a.m. Central Time kickoff as Iowa looks to close out with a win against an SEC foe. And joining us from Tampa is friend of the show, Madison Hritzik from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Going to talk about the bowl game and the other festivities that are happening down in Tampa. Madison, appreciate you joining the show. How are things down there?
It is warm and sunny, and I do not envy anybody that is still in Iowa, Spencer. I cannot lie to you. I have thoroughly enjoyed my afternoon on a beach for the beach day pep rally, so I'm perfectly content with the Florida weather right now, to say the least.
Are you going to put into to the Gazette to work remotely for the rest of your time in Cedar Rapids?
Going to approve that request, but you never know. I could try.
It's worth a try. If they say no, then I don't know. You handle it how you want to, but just send them a picture. Just send them the picture of the beach, right? Hey, it's 60 degrees warmer here, and I'll still do my work. I'll just be out here all the time.
I'll just be where it's 60 degrees warmer. Exactly.
Yeah. Is the work still getting done? You can still cover games remotely and stuff. No. But in all seriousness, I saw the beach day photos today. Look like a blast. What's the experience been like down in Tampa with both teams now present? The game still a couple days away. What have you been taking in over the last couple of days as the bowl game gets closer?
Yeah, I mean, I think more than anything else, you can tell that both teams and both fan bases are thrilled to be here. And I think that's something that we've talked about from the get-go. Like, this is truly one of the most intriguing bowl matchups outside of the CFP, I guess postseason matchups outside of CFP, because of the fact that both teams are 100% fully invested. You're having basically every single starter on either side, with the exception of Vanderbilt's tight end, Eli Stowers. He just officially made it official from the reporting elsewhere that he was potentially going to opt out. He's officially opted out of the bowl in preparation for the NFL draft. But at this point, like, it's truly just everyone's excited to be here. I think Iowa fans are thrilled to also be in the sun. I was talking with a couple players, too, and they were like, I cannot tell you how nice it was to, like, feel the sun on my face when we stepped off the plane on Christmas Day. And I was like, yeah, I understand that because I felt the same way. But I mean, more than anything else, when you're just looking at just the excitement and the atmosphere and what's been building since landing here on the 26th, it's just been a very positive feeling. I think everybody just kind of feels like this is the right opportunity for both programs. And honestly, it's a very exciting and intriguing matchup for both schools. And I think that's why you have so many people that are so excited about this game.
I want to ask you about the Eli Stowers news, because that's one of the variables we didn't know about when we had you in right before Christmas. Obviously, their best receiver, a key matchup. We know what the tight end does for Iowa's offense. Obviously, this kid is probably going to be one of the top tight ends in the upcoming NFL draft. At least he's projected to be at this point. What does that change for Vanderbilt just from what you've done, the homework you've done looking at Vanderbilt and how they play the game? And what does that mean for Iowa on the defensive side as they look to slow down a Vanderbilt offense that not only has a really good quarterback but some solid weapons too?
Well, I think one of the things that stands out with Stowers opting out, when you look at Vanderbilt's film, Avia often looks for Stowers on third down. So I think that's going to be a big deal. Like, I've been making a joke about it just kind of very casually when, you know, the initial reporting came out that he was considering opting out, was the fact that, you know, if they wanted to limit the snaps, I mean, he literally could just play third downs because that's when he's been most successful for the Commodores all season. It's been in those third down conversions, which is great news for Iowa's defense because that means that that's one main target in those must-convert moments throughout the game. So I think that there's a little bit of give and take. Now, we know for a fact that Pavia is very, very good at turning nothing into something. And I think that's still going to be a major concern for this Iowa defense. But I think having Stowers not play in the game, it almost kind of takes a, I don't want to say like a massive piece, but it does take a bigger chunk of concern off the board in terms of how are you going to handle what Pavia can do. And the fact that really, I mean, Phil Parker said it himself, like no one's really had a consistent answer for Pavia and what he's been able to do throughout this season. So taking Stowers off the board a little bit might actually help that, because then you're not only having to worry about Pavia and Stowers together, you're kind of just more focused on making sure that Pavia doesn't do what he's been so good at, and that is scrambling and making a play out of what should be, you know, a sack or a TFL.
That was my next question, just in general. Has Iowa figured out, just based on what you've heard, how to slow down Diego Pavia? I know Kirk had a little bit before the trip down there. You mentioned Phil Parker. He had some thoughts as well. It's one of those things, I think, you don't really know if your plan's going to work until you're right there on the field, right?
It absolutely is. I mean, he's such an unpredictable player, and that's why he's been so good, is the fact that he's just been able to figure out a way to make a play work, whether it's by himself and just kind of running it and just scrambling in the backfield for who knows how long before making the pass, or just being able to get the ball out of his hands quick and into the hands of his receivers or his running back room or whoever's around him. I think that is a big thing. I will be very interested to see how Iowa's defense, particularly the secondary, kind of manages some of that, because despite the fact that Stowers isn't playing, a lot of their receivers have made some quality catches and some timely catches throughout the SEC season. And so it's not like the receiving game is completely, like, off the table. Like, Vanderbilt can very much still have a very strong receiving game even without Stowers.
Question on the text line about T.J. Hall. Have you seen any updates? I know he wasn't on the initial depth chart that came out before Christmas, but I believe he was at practice from the pictures I saw. What do we know about T.J. Hall and just health-wise in general from what you've seen at practice this week?
Yeah, so he's been practicing the 2 days that we were able to see practice during the first couple minutes of it. Sounded like Phil Parker had every anticipation of him playing. When we spoke to T.J. before we all dispersed for the holidays and the team went down there, you know, he was excited to play in the bowl game. He said he was feeling much better after his injury against USC back in November. And so, to me, all signs are pointing towards he's playing. Whether he's going to be starting or not, I don't know. But you always take a depth chart with a grain of salt. And this is one of those scenarios where it's like the depth chart was kind of with a grain of salt. And I would be shocked if he does not play in some capacity. Whether he starts or not, I really would be shocked. But everything that we've seen so far and what Phil Parker has told us has made it sound like T.J. Hall should be available.
Madison Hritzik from the Cedar Rapids Gazette joining me live from Tampa as the ReliaQuest Bowl is a couple days away here on Wednesday morning, 11 a.m. Central Time kickoff between the Hawkeyes and Vanderbilt. When you talk about just the season coming to an end for Iowa, you talk about the number of seniors, 27 of them playing their final game here down in Tampa against Vanderbilt. Do you sense, and from who you've talked to over the last couple weeks or so in preparation for the game, do you sense there's a little extra motivation? There's always motivation, but do you sense there's a little extra motivation for these seniors, since there is such a huge class of seniors, to get a win, to get a ninth win, to get that win over an SEC team, a ranked team, to kind of end this on a really truly positive note? Do you sense that from who you've talked to this week as game time approaches, Madison?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that this particular senior class has truly been through so much, because so many of them came to Iowa when the world was still shut down from COVID in some capacity, and they've all kind of found their way to make their own case, make their own statement in the program. And I think that entire team, not just the senior class, but the entire team itself, understands that they were so close from being in a completely different scenario this year. And so why would you not have the extra motivation when the stars align like the way they have for this bowl game? I mean, you're playing against a team that is also had a very similar situation, very, very close to, you know, potentially being a playoff team with a couple things go one way or the other. You know, you're looking at a scenario where maybe this wasn't a ReliaQuest bowl game, maybe this was a CFP game. So that's like, these are two teams that have very similar stories in that sense, but it's just one of those kinds of feelings for the senior class, at least the sense that I've gotten, of why would we not want to try and go out the best way we can and the most positive way we can, especially against a team that I was never played. Like, Iowa and Vanderbilt have never met on a football field before. And I think that's also something that makes it really fun, too, is that this is a brand new experience for everybody involved. There's no old playbook or history to lean back on. This is truly just fresh content that you're just diving into since, you know, this was announced back on December 7th.
And it's a Vanderbilt team. We talked about this before you made the trip down there. It's a Vanderbilt team. If you follow college football, Vanderbilt's been terrible except for a few years here and there.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the Jay Cutler time, but even then they were like 6-6 during that time. And then the couple of years James Franklin was there in Nashville with the Commodores. They're largely the doormat of the SEC. So to see them with 10 wins, to see them with a quarterback who was a Heisman runner up. You can't look at past history. You have to take in the here and now, and that's obviously how you operate any given season. But this is a chance to truly play and try to win against a team that's been one of the darlings, been one of the great turnaround stories in college football, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, listen, I say that I have SEC experience. I have a season of SEC football under my belt, and the season that I covered, South Carolina played Vanderbilt, and it was right before Clark Lee took over the program. I understood when people say, like, oh, Vanderbilt was the doormat of the SEC. Like, that's a very accurate statement. I mean, football was not taken seriously by the other SEC schools when it came to Vanderbilt. And so the turnaround that they've had with Lee has been great. I think the addition of Pavia doing what he's done has also heightened it extensively. And the reality is, when you look at it for Vanderbilt, in the grand picture of things, this season is a win regardless of the outcome on Wednesday for Vanderbilt. That doesn't mean that the Commodores aren't going to try and go give it their all and beat Iowa to be the one with, you know, the better record at the end of this. But you're looking at a Vanderbilt team that has exceeded all expectations this year. And, I mean, this is the second bowl game that they've made in 2 years, but it's the first time. I think it was like 18 was the last time they had made a bowl prior to last season. So this has been a long time coming for this Vanderbilt fan base, and I think they're exciting. They're excited because it's new. This is new and exciting, and you're getting an opportunity to celebrate a quarterback that fan base loves. And so it definitely makes it a lot more interesting. But I don't know. There's just, Spencer, like, I truly can't tell you, like, how excited I am to see these two teams meet, because on paper they're so different, but they're so similar at the same time. It makes it for such an intriguing matchup.
You said something interesting when you talked about Vanderbilt just now about the season being a success for them regardless of what happens in the game. Do you consider, if Iowa doesn't win the game on Wednesday, does that mean the season's a failure? Do they have to win for it to be a successful year? How do you view that?
I mean, listen, this is my first year covering this team. I would think that win or lose, I feel like Iowa still had a pretty successful season. They took the number one team in the country down to the wire in September. They took Oregon down to the wire in November. Like, they've had incredible games. They've come back from, you know, a almost 3-score deficit against Penn State at home. Like, they've had these wins. They've beaten all of the Big Ten rivals that they usually face every year. So when you look at the benchmarks of a successful season, I see that I would consider this a successful season. I think the bowl game would honestly just be the thing that really solidifies it, if that makes sense. I think you take it a step further when you win a bowl game like this, especially over a team like Vanderbilt with the ranking that they have and just the season that they've had overall. I think that really does solidify them a little bit more, because the reality is, Iowa went 8-4 this year, but I mean, that was a tough 8-4 schedule. Like, there's not a lot of teams, I think, in Iowa history that goes 8-4. And I think that that's also been the most impressive part about all of this too. So, I mean, personally for me, I would say it would be a successful season for Iowa, win or lose as well. I just think it would be that much better if they won.
Before I let you go, got to get your crystal ball prediction. What happens I'm putting you on the spot. You're in Tampa, but I'm still going to put you on the spot. Crystal ball, what do you think happens? It could be basic. It could be off the wall. It's a bowl game. There might be some wackiness that happens. What do you think?
Oh, geez. All right, hold on. I need to pull up the spread so I can get at least a baseline of what I'm looking at here. I'm not going to lie. All right, let's see. I see a crystal ball is this one's tough for a crystal ball. I'm going to go with my original crystal ball that started this chain. I think that there could be an Iowa pick six in this game.
A pick six.
I think a pick six could be a potential here. Whether it is a game-winning pick six or one that puts Iowa on the board for the first time in the game or something of that nature, I think that the secondary, if they're locked in, there's an opportunity with how much Vanderbilt can rely on that passing game. I think there's an opportunity for Iowa there.
Zach Luttmer or Xavier Wampo or the field?
Oh, jeez.
I'm making you work for it.
On the spot. Oh, gosh. All right, well, I did just go the blanket pick six the last time, and I was right, so I guess I should probably double down if we're going to, like, really do it. Let's go Wampa. I feel like he's itching for another big play like that. And I wouldn't be surprised if he really tries to go 120% all out in this game with just how much he's been diehard, just all in on this program for as long as he has been. So I think I'm going to go Wampa in that case.
All right, we'll see what happens. Madison, appreciate the time. Enjoy what time you have left in Tampa, and bottle up some warm weather and bring it back with you, okay?
I will do my very best, okay? No promises.
Sounds great. Appreciate it. Enjoy the game. Madison Hritzik from the Cedar Rapids Gazette joining me live from Tampa, Florida, here on 1600 ESPN. Hawkeyes and Vanderbilt coming up on Wednesday, New Year's Eve day, 11 a.m. on ESPN.